Oh, baby girl.
Welcome.
What were you talking about?
We're talking about big, juicy, thick, melts in your mouth.
Ooh.
Dark, long Vane. Sausage.
I've been trying to keep the cholesterol down.
Mm.
So I've been trying to avoid the red meats.
I see.
Hence the turkey or the chicken sausage.
I see.
And as we've discussed before, as long as it's a good sausage, it doesn't really matter the meat. It matters the spices put into that sausage.
So that's true, but it depends who you ask. Because I guarantee you, most people won't be like, yeah, give me like a bloodwurst.
Sure, but that's a little cray-cray. You're not going to your local grocery store and getting blood sausage. Come on.
I mean, if they sold it, I would.
Yeah, but they don't. That's
they
the
don't.
Point.
Unless
it's even hard to find Braunschweiger.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or like head cheese. Do they have head cheese sausage?
I haven't seen it, but I'm
surely
sure they
that's
do.
A thing.
I'm sure they do.
Let's play
but I'm
game.
Just talking. I'm talking the regular grocery stores.
Head cheese. How to make head cheese sausage.
Oh, sounds like a weekend project for Martino.
Oh my God, I am all over this.
After you do your hydroponic garden out and back.
Yeah, I was out there measuring today.
Ooh.
Yeah, I came out for lunch too. I let the dogs out. I was like, I'm going to measure this.
What?
What?
Right.
Yes. Man, this head cheese sausage looks awful.
Yes. I'm sure it is.
Yes. Head cheese. For anyone that doesn't know what head cheese is, it's, don't you like just put a head in a pot of boiling water and you just like scrape the bits off the head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Head cheese. Man, this actually sounds pretty good.
Serve it
with an assortment of pickles, pickled carrots, fiddleheads. What's a fiddlehead? No, this has me curious.
Isn't it fiddlehead fern?
Fiddlehead, some kind of plant, I guess.
Yeah.
A trio of spring pickles, ramps, rhubarb, and fiddleheads.
Hmm.
Ramps. That reminds me of DC Noise.
Oh, yeah.
DC Noise.
Always good.
Fiddleheads. Looks like some kind of seed, man. Interesting.
Hmm.
Very interesting. You pickle it with rice wine, ginger root, and cumin. I'm about to go to the Asian market this weekend, bro.
Oh, nice.
This sounds good.
I like that.
And I'm going to pickle some ramps.
Ramps.
Ramps. Ramps.
Oh, hey, I don't know if you noticed on social, of course, one of our number one fans. I won't say he or she is our number one fan because we have many number one fans. He or she is one of the many number one fans of the Nerdy Legion Network starring Martin Ferretti.
Nick Wetmore, continue.
He or she asked a question that now I need you to think about.
Oh, I love questions.
And deliver. It's from, I'm sure you've chatted with this person before. It's from our number one fan, Snapper Carr. And what they ask is, if you had to choose a Nintendo mascot, and you had to be them, would it be, and they give two choices, would it be Kirby or would it be Yoshi? And I don't know if you know the difference between either of them, but Kirby is a small little pink dude with feet.
Yes.
Who sucks in objects as well as enemies and people.
And farts and them out.
No. Spits them out. Vomits them out.
Yes.
Or Yoshi, who's a green little turtle,
mm-hmm.
and he whips his tongue out, grabs a hold of objects or enemies, and then he, as you said,
poops them out.
Prematurely. He poops them out into the shape of an egg that follows him around.
Did you say he prematurely ejaculates them? Is that what you said?
No.
Oh, I thought you cut out there for a minute.
Uh-uh. No, oh no, I did not cut out for a minute.
Oh, okay.
You're just a dirty bird. So that's what Snapper Carr's asking. If you had to be one of those Nintendo mascots, which one would you be? The vomit and the suck in and vomit out the enemy, or the whip your tongue out and then poop him or her into an egg out your butt.
Look, let me tell you, anyone that has listened to this, the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Hello.
The 1,012th most popular podcast on iTunes at the moment.
And we're going up with a bullet. Last episode, we were 1,212. So we're moving up.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But I do know that we are number 1,012.
You know why that is?
Why is that?
Because we have gone up in female listenership. Now we have 4 female listeners. Moving on up. Thank you. Hello, ladies.
I wonder what that translates to in terms of listenership. Being the 1,012 most popular podcast.
I don't know. I think you cut out there. We're 1,012 popular on the Nerdy Legion network. So that's not iTunes.
For anyone that has listened to this show for more than 3 minutes, and if you have, you are a sweet angel, because good Lord, why do you listen to this? You would automatically know that my answer would be Yoshi, the greatest, well, second greatest Nintendo character ever created.
Second.
Do you know
only to Mario?
No, are you serious?
Only to Star Fox.
Mario is racist.
Only to Star Fox.
As someone who has an Italian background, I am deeply offended.
And
by
who is
Mario.
A plumber? I apologize.
Mm-hmm. And he has the stash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He looks like, what's that guy? Ron Jeremy. That's what Mario looks like.
The Hedgehog?
No, the Hedgehog. Is that his nickname?
That's his nickname.
Is it? Yeah. Is it because he's like short and hairy?
Hey, if you want to Google, if you want to DuckDuckGo Ron Jeremy nickname, I'm pretty sure the Hedgehog would come up. No, it's because he can put his lips on his man part, like a hedgehog pulls up in a ball.
Oh, I thought hedgehogs just had giant peckers.
Ron Jeremy does. I don't know about a hedgehog.
I wouldn't know. I don't know what porn is.
Okay, so Snapper Card, your answer is
Yoshi.
Okay.
Yoshi. Every time I play that game, what do we play? What do we have here? Super Mario World. No. Yes, that's it, right? Super Mario World?
Sure.
Sure.
You say?
Whatever. That's what we play here on the Wii.
Okay.
Not the Wii U, not whatever else. The Wii. I love the levels where you can get Yoshi. Because I always jump on Yoshi, and if I lose my Yoshi, I beat the crap out of anybody else that's playing, so I can jump on their Yoshi.
But also, the issue with Yoshi, unlike Kirby, is the hover sound that Yoshi does. It becomes quite annoying halfway through that level.
Mm.
Or any level that Yoshi's on.
Look, Yoshi is my spirit animal. Episode title, where's my bell? Oh, no, know. There it is. I lost it. It wasn't in front of me.
I'm serving you up these softballs in hopes that Martin Ferretti would, since he is number 2 on your list of Nintendo characters, I was serving you up that softball so we can get a said impression of the Yoshi hover sound.
Mm, I will not do that.
Come on!
No, I will not do that.
Do you not want to play tonight?
We're playing all kinds of games.
Come on. I'll do it if you do it. And I haven't heard Yoshi hover in 15 years, 10 years.
I don't even remember what it sounds like.
Isn't it like like his voice vibratos?
Hmm. Maybe I need to find a clip and insert it into the show.
Oh, please do. It is so freaking, like, the first couple times it's like, oh, that's cute. And then after hearing that 100 times on a level,
I don't even pay attention. I need to pay attention.
Oh, shame on you. Well, go ahead. Give me your top 5 Nintendo mascot characters.
All right. We'll go in reverse order.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. In reverse order, number 5 is Wario.
Whoa.
Wario does not give 2 craps.
He does not.
So
and
Wario.
Puts out damn good games.
Yes. What was that? Remember that? Oh God! On the Game Boy, it was like Dr. Mario, but it had Wario in it.
Like WarioWare?
WarioWare, yeah.
They're all just insanely fun mini games.
All right, so what was that? Number five. Number five is Wario. Number four, I got to think about this.
Hey, you put Yoshi as two very quickly, so I thought you'd have a five.
Yeah, no, I know. All right, number five, Wario. Number four is going to be Samus.
A little Metroid.
Yeah, a little Metroid in there.
Yeah.
Number three is going to be... What's... What the hell's his name? From Super Punch-Out. Crap. All right, let me look it up.
Are you talking the first guy?
Glass Joe.
Yes.
Glass Joe.
Glass Joe.
I love him. Matter of fact, we should probably have any boxer in the Punch-Out series just make your, like, top 20 list.
Wow.
Because they're all amazing. Except for Little Mac. Little Mac sucks. But everybody else is awesome.
And Mike Tyson, because he's way too overpowered.
Well, that's true. He's tough, man.
He is.
He's very tough. What was that number three? Number two, Yoshi. Number one.
Yeah.
Take a guess. What's number one?
I mean, I can name off tons that you've already forgotten. But
sure.
Princess Peach.
Now, I will say this. I have previously said on this show what my number one is.
Toad.
Yes.
Is it?
It's Toad.
With that high voice of his?
Yes. Because when I play Mario Kart, Toad is the best one on there.
He is pretty good.
He's lightweight. I'll say that. He's got the little car. He can sneak around places.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always super happy. And you don't know if he's like a dude or a chick. But he's like, he's just a thing. And mushrooms are delicious. Not that I would ever eat Toad or any of his species. But Denver, Colorado apparently just legalized magic mushrooms.
All right.
Toad is the best.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I, in no particular order, I would have to say Link.
That's a good one.
I love me some Tom Nook.
Really?
Frost. Hell yeah, he's fun. He's hilarious. Slippy Toad from Firefox.
Star Fox.
Star Fox.
Slippy Firefox. Is awesome.
You know, the old Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, Firefox. Yeah. By the way, we played Star Fox, the original at C2E2. At the Airbnb. Oh,
nice.
Not as good as I remember.
Oh, that doesn't live well.
Nope, not as good as I remember. But I have recently played, through some dubious means, Star Fox 64, and that game is still awesome.
That is. That's nice.
Yep.
I like that. And then I think I would throw in at least Diddy Kong, because I love me some rare Donkey Kong games. And then I'll throw in, instead of Waluigi, I'll throw in Luigi. What the heck?
All right, so out of Mario and Luigi, I do like Luigi better.
Yeah.
Because he's like the goofy, super dumb version of Mario.
He's always scared, a little tentative.
He is.
Yeah.
And Mario's just, you know, I don't know, man. I'm not a Mario fan.
Mario has just been overused, but still, he's classic.
What would you say is the best Mario game of all time?
Mario Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Bingo. You got it.
That's a fantastic one. Yeah. And Mario Sunshine would be one of my least favorite.
I would put Mario Galaxy at the top. Super Mario Brothers 3 would be second. The third one would probably be Paper Mario.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that shit was fun. Because it did, like, different stuff. You know. Well, you know what? All those three did different things.
I like the 2D, 3D thing that Nintendo hooked into. Even, like, wasn't it Kirby did, like, a yarn game?
Oh, my God. Kirby's Epic Yarn is one of my favorite games ever, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the style of those type of games. Even on the DS, that Mario Luigi... RPG game that went from 2D to 3D.
Yeah, that was good.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was good. Super Mario RPG. Yeah, Kirby's Epic Yarn is freaking awesome, dude. Because it's, man, I don't even know how they did it. Because it's not, it almost looks like it would be claymation. You know what I mean? like yeah. parts of it, but it's not. Mm-mm. And then Kirby's just like a pink circle, basically, with eyeballs.
And then Yoshi had, what was it, Yoshi's Woolly World?
Yoshi's that, Island.
No. But that's a classic.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Hell yeah. But Woolly World, that looked like it was a like craft, like paper and materials, like cut out game. Do you remember that, or did you not play that one?
It's called Woolly World?
I could swear it was Woolly World.
All right, let's find that right now. All right, here we go.
Yoshi, it just had a really cool style, just like Epic Yarn.
Yep, there it is. Yoshi's Woolly World. Yeah. I've never played that.
Oh, you should just take a look at the trailer. I mean, it has a great style.
I do like the sound of this. Yoshi's Crafted World. That just came out.
Ooh, that does sound good.
That sounds like, never mind, it's 3D. Oh, that's cool, though. Man, yeah, I love those.
Yeah.
Nintendo's got good games, but you know what the problem is? They're always, like, just kind of the same thing.
They have great style for their games. Yeah, but their platforming is perfection.
That's true.
If you're in the mood for that, oh my gosh. Whew.
That's Mama true. Mia.
But thank you, Snapper Car, for your question.
Yes, thank you, Snapper Car.
It was a good one.
For submitting your question to the Nerd Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Did you see the Watchmen trailer?
Nope.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I knew it came out. I saw it in my timeline, but I got home late from my employment training sessions and could not tell the wife, move over. I got to watch something. So probably by the time we record next, I will have watched.
All right, good. It is awesome.
I'm sure it is. So it's going to be a series, right?
It is a series, yes.
Nice.
It is a series. It looks very good.
Moore intended it.
There's like a whole cult of Rorschachs.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks great.
Wow. This is not what Alan Moore ever intended.
No. I do wonder, though, now that you say that, if he would approve of this. I think he might approve of this.
No, he's pretty crotchety now.
Well, yeah, because he's not doing it. But, yeah. Like, if he no, never mind. That doesn't work. Not with Alan Moore.
I wish somebody could... What was it called, that Jim Carrey movie? What is it, Yes Man?
Mm-hmm.
I wish somebody would put Alan Moore under a spell that he would have to agree to everything.
Oh.
Just so somebody can come in with, I will back up 3 Briggs trucks to Alan Moore. Just give me all of the rights to do whatever I want with any America's Best Comic characters, titles, whatever. Give me that universe. Mm-hmm. I so want to use that. I so want to see that. I want to read that. I miss that so much.
When was the last time that America's Best Comics came out? That's got to be at least 10 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. It's been ages. Yeah.
That's too bad.
And the thing that spurred me onto that?
Yes.
And I think I even included you, was reading my final Wildstorm item.
Oh, the 25-year anniversary special.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, next time that's on sale, if I see it, I'm going to be reaching out and letting you know, because you need to read that. Because there are some beautiful pinup art pages never before released.
Mm-hmm.
There are stories never before released. They finally put out for the first time the Authority, Warren Ellis Authority censored issue.
Oh.
So that's out. It's black and white because they never colored it because DC went in and wanted to chop that up.
And destroyed it.
But there's so much. Dude, there's a Backlash story that's written and penciled by Brett Booth. Brand new.
Oh, shit. Are you serious?
There's a brand new Deathblow story by Choi and Jim Lee, and it looks beautiful. Oh, my God. And it was a good story, too. There was a Wildcats 3.0 that Dustin Nguyen?
Nguyen.
And Christos Gage did. 3.0!
Wow. Wow.
There's a Gen 13 that J. Scott Campbell did. Like, these are all, like, unreleased stuff.
Holy moly.
It's either unreleased or when they were preparing for this 25-year celebration, Jim Lee reached out to these people and said, hey, can you do a new story?
Uh-huh.
So they're either from the vault or they're brand new approaches.
Wow. And
they're really good. They're really fun. But would I recommend spending, I mean, you get, I would say half of that 280 pages
uh-huh.
is brand new stuff, like stuff I've never seen. And then the other half is stuff that you've seen. So would I recommend spending whatever it is, $30 for it?
Uh-huh.
No, but when Comixology has it on sale for $5.99, hell yeah.
Huh.
Jump on it. Because some of those pinups, and I mean, I included you in on some of them. Good God, they are good looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Let's play a game. It's called, let's find this on Amazon right now.
Uh-oh.
It's called what? Wildstorm 25 years something, right?
A celebration of 25 years.
Wildstorm, a celebration of 25 years. $18 hardcover sold.
It's good. I think you would find some good stuff in there. And hardcover is pretty nice too.
That is nice. Is that? I thought I had seen a different cover for this.
It's like a white cover.
Yeah, yeah. It's got Midnighter and Spartan and okay.
Brand new. I think Jim Lee drew that.
Yeah, it looks like Jim Lee.
Yeah.
Yep. There's. But a
it's
signature.
Good, and you could tell Jim Lee definitely oversaw what was being put in. I'm sure he worked with an editor, but still, it was. And it's really nice because they even go through like backlash. First appearance, blah, blah, blah. And you get just a little, it's not like the Marvel universe breakdown of like first appearances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just like a little, like three sentences describing the character. And then if it goes over to like a full story, then it will say like Brett Booth wrote and drew this new Backlash story that he wanted to do at the end of the series or something like that.
How many pages are original content?
I'd say 50%.
Really?
Yeah. It felt like 50%. I felt very satisfied at the end.
All right. It collects a sense-shattering blend of all new original stories featuring classic characters, creative teams, Authority Requiem, Backlash, Deathblow, Wildcats. Well,
yeah, there's a Dan Abnett
World's End Majestic story.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's good. It's good enough just for the Jim Lee story. That was really good. Backlash was pretty good. I don't know. I was surprised at how much new stuff was in it, to be honest with you. And then to get Black and White, because the Authority, Miller, Gary Frank issue that got edited,
yeah.
That's all Black and White. So to actually see all like an entire issue in Black and White, ooh, that was nice.
All right, buy it now.
It's good. That was the cherry on top of the sundae. Because usually, you know how, and I'm sure, I don't know if you're this way, but when you're reading, for me, when I want to dive into like Spider-Man Marvel masterworks, and I want to read like five, and I just put myself in the mindset, I'm going to read five masterwork volumes back to back to back without any breaks. By the time you get to the end, you're sort of burned out. And you're ready just to like, is there some action scenes? Can I start flipping through this quicker? Because I have all these other comics waiting for me.
Yeah.
When I got to this celebration, dude, that I just shifted it into low gear. And it was a pleasure to read that.
All right. Well, I ordered it. It'll be here on Friday.
Cool.
I'm looking at this Absolute Wildcats. This is tempting.
Ooh.
Absolute Wildcats.
Did not even know that existed.
I did not either. It collects...
What the volume is that?
So it says, collects Wildcats 1 through 13, 31, and 50. Cyberforce? That's not even the same studio!
Huh.
I think the Wildcats showed up there. Cyberforce 1 through 3, Wildcats okay. X-Men The Silver Age, Wildcats Adventures number 1, and Wildcats number 1.
So it's not the Sean Phillips...
No.
Casey Rock.
This is, I'm not getting this. This is, that's a weird collection.
Yeah. It would be nice to have it. I gotta say, I have the Planetary and the Authority Absolute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a nice one, yeah.
Dude, to see those just with 3 extra inches of space.
That's what she said.
Mama me. I mean, the Laura Martin colors. Mm-hmm. Oh, mamma mia. Well worth it.
Yep.
But I don't know if I would want Wildcats Volume 1. Give me Sean Phillips in big artwork with those beautiful colors. Ooh, heck yeah.
Which, you have the Planetary Omnibus, right? The one with the blue and white cover?
Hold on.
Yeah, you do that.
No, the wife's still awake.
Oh, you don't own any of these.
We're gonna talk in library tones. We're in church right now. I own the floppies, the absolutes, the omnibus.
Oh my.
And everything in digital.
Holy shit, are you serious?
Yes.
So I don't have the absolutes, but I do have the omnibus and I do have the floppies.
I would say the omnibus is nice to have everything there.
Yeah.
But it's, I think the, what is it called? The well?
Yep.
Where the spine hits the paper. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little too tight.
Mm.
But the absolute editions, you don't have that problem. And it's really big. It's so pretty. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I bought the omnibus for like $5.
Oh my god, you can't pass that up.
Yeah.
And that comes with the crossovers too, right?
Yeah, it's got the Planetary Batman stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, where is that? Why is that team not being done?
Look, I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about this for like 3 days.
Let's discuss.
So at Rad Puppy, better known as Brett Booth, longtime comic book artist. He did the art on like a shit ton of the original Stormwatch stuff. He's been tweeting a lot because I think he wants to do some creator owned stuff.
Nice.
So he's been asking like, what do you want me to work on? This and that. Because he's doing the new Bloodshot series for Valiant that comes out in October, November, something like that.
Oh, great.
Written by Tim Seeley.
Ooh.
And nice. Yeah, it looks good. So he's been tweeting a lot about stuff like that. And I commented, I was like, bring back Stormwatch. And his comment was, of course, I don't own those characters, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't. But I do miss it because, you know, when I got into Stormwatch, he was the artist on Stormwatch. And as everyone knows, Stormwatch is one of my favorite comics of the past, like, 30 years. Mm-hmm. Even through all the not-so-good stuff.
Yep.
I still love it. Yes, there's been plenty.
Same with Authority. I'm all over Authority, but there's been some peaks and valleys.
Well, in Authority, I think, to me, is, like, almost the opposite. So Stormwatch... You gotta remember, when I was reading Stormwatch, I was young, right? I was like early teens. So I loved it. I've always loved it. Mm-hmm. But looking back, like, I could see that that's not the best version of Stormwatch.
Sure.
Right? And I think anybody that reads it now, I know like Rob's been reading it, I know you've read it,
mm-hmm.
Knows that that's not the best. Like, it's a fun comic, but it's not the best iteration.
It's fun soap opera.
Exactly. Like, you know,
but it isn't space opera.
Yeah, it's not going to be like an award-winning comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of like Beverly Hills 90210 Melrose Place. Like, they ain't going to be winning Emmys, but no one will admit they ever watched those shows, even though they were the highest rated shows.
Mm. I never watched Melrose Place, but I did watch the shit out of 90210.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's sort of where that's how I would equate Stormwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, plenty of like, it's not the best, and it's not going to win any Eisners. But there's a shit ton of people that used to read it.
Yeah. So with Stormwatch, it's like an uphill climb. So you start off and like it's good, it's super fun, but it's just like a typical superhero team book.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have like Warren Ellis coming in. And Warren Ellis being one of the greatest of all time just like kicks it up 3,000 notches. You know what I mean?
For sure.
With Authority, I think it's almost the opposite. I think with Authority, like it kicks off at like the peak.
Yeah.
And then with each progressive series, it gets worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
But they still had big writers on it.
Well, yes. But
for whatever reason, the directions they would swerve it at, even like Abnett and Lanning, mm-hmm. the directions that they were swerving didn't really connect with me that much. There were parts that were like, ooh, that was good. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was just like, I'll still read Ellis or even Mark Millar. I'll read
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, so after, I think after Ellis, Mark Miller, Nick Wedmore. No,
sorry. It's hard.
Is probably one of the better runs of that series. Sure. And like, I mean, Brubaker did some stuff on there, you know what I mean? And I love Brubaker, but I don't think his stuff was as good.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of other writers, but yeah, it almost like, it's like it went downhill. And then now it's just like non-existent, right? So
yeah.
DC's done like a Midnighter book, and then there was the Midnighter and Apollo book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Steve Orlando, so like it makes sense, right? You have a gay writer writing these gay characters, like that's fine.
Sure.
But like they haven't really done much with that since. I think he may have shown up. I don't know if he's shown up in the Nightwing book or like if Nightwing was in the Midnighter book. I can't remember exactly what it was. But even then, like it's been probably 2 years since we've seen Midnighter, and like nothing else from anything else.
That's Do you think? DC or Jim Lee, they are so desperate to have Warren Ellis back in the fold that they just don't want to touch Planetary. They don't, you know, they're waiting for him to come back and like jump on it. Or like, you know who should be writing this? Steve Orlando.
So here's
I give my blessing.
Here's what I think. And I think, well, I might have mentioned this before, either on this show or my other show. But like, you know, they threw Warren Ellis like just a bunch of money to do the Wildstorm, right?
For sure.
Not to say he didn't want to do it, right? Because I think Warren Ellis like really likes this universe. But it's one of those things where like, do I work on something I really like, or do I do like creator own stuff?
Yeah, that is totally all his.
Right.
I can't blame him.
Yeah. So with that said, you know, the Wildstorm has been just amazing. The entire run is just amazing for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a popular book, but I think the people that are picking it up are people that were definitely reading Wildstorm stuff back in the day. For mm-hmm. sure, people that read Ellis's Wildstorm stuff.
For sure.
But it almost feels like, here's what it feels like. And, I don't want to talk bad about anybody at DC, but let me just do that real quick.
Yeah, let's not talk bad about anyone. Let's keep this above board.
All right, fine. So as you know, DC has two publishers. Okay. One is Jim Lee, another one is a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what it feels like to me, right? Jim Lee's like, look, guys, I've got these characters. You haven't done anything with them in years, right? Like, there used to be a Grifter series, that's gone. There used to be a Voodoo series, that's gone. There used to be mm-hmm. a Stormwatch series, that's gone. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever did anything. The Wildcats 2.0 was DC, but like mm-hmm. nothing really after that much.
No.
And I'm sure Jim's like, look, I have all these great characters. Like, let's just do something with them. And
we have to get these in people's eyeballs so I can sell them the movie rights and TV rights of this stuff. Come on.
I don't think that would matter anymore, right? Because DC owns them anyway.
Right.
So,
well, he would, you know, he's going to get some cut there.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, I'm sure they will. So I'm sure he's like, yeah, let's do this. And so I'm sure like the Wildstorm was a Jim Lee thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this, the other publisher, which we're not going to name, he's, I'm convinced, just hates DC Comics.
Wow.
Let me rephrase that. That's not what I want to say. Scratch that. I don't want to say he hates DC Comics. I think he truly hates certain characters in DC.
Does he also hate sidekicks?
He definitely hates sidekicks.
Oh, okay. All right.
He definitely hates sidekicks, and he hates Wally West.
What if we put the Wildstorm universe into a Western setting? Would he be a little bit more happy then?
He also hates Westerns.
Darn it.
Yes. Although I'm going to tell you, I don't know if he necessarily hates Westerns, but we'll just say he does. Anyways, so I'm sure Jim's like, hey, we got to do this book. And he's like, eh. He's like, if I get Warren Ellis, can we do this book? And he'd be like, all right. Because, you know, like it's not easy to get Warren Ellis to write something for you.
Right.
So Jim somehow convinced Warren to do it, and Warren did it. And this other guy, who shall remain nameless, was like, all right, we'll do this goddamn book. But you're not getting anything else.
Mm.
But they did get other stuff, you know what I mean? There was the Michael Cray book, which is very different from Deathblow. You read Deathblow, right?
Yep.
Very different from Deathblow.
For sure.
Like, literally almost not even the same character. Actually, that's not true. It is pretty close to, like, Deathblow in the later years.
Mm.
But, like, when Deathblow first came out, by the way, one of my favorite black covers of all time is Deathblow number one. Because it's, like, the epitome of, like, early to mid-90s variant cover.
Mm-hmm.
It was an all-black cover, which was very popular back then.
Sure.
All it was on the front was Deathblow's face, also very popular back then.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, the cover was an embossed cover, so Deathblow's head was, like, sticking out of the book. Mm-hmm. And number four, one of the epitomes of 90s variant comics, the foil cover, the logo was done in red foil. So I loved it. For some reason, it smelled really good, too. I don't know what it was, but at least my copy smelled delicious.
Sure.
I got distracted. What am I talking about? Deathblow.
Oh, Warren I don't know, Ellis, but yeah, I have Warren, a couple other questions.
Warren Ellis. So,
yeah.
The Wildstorm, though, is fantastic. And the thing is, there are authority characters in the Wildstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jenny Sparks has been in there, like, the entire thing.
Yep.
But it's not, like, I love it, and I love that I have it, but I would also love to have an Authority book, and a Planetary book, and a Wildcats book, and a Deathblow book, and a Gen 13 book. And that'll probably never happen, so I should probably just be happy with what I have.
Yeah, sometimes we have to count our blessings.
Yes.
But now what – my next question is, does Alan Moore own America's Best Comics and all the characters, or is that a DC Wildstorm ownage?
Mm.
And if that's the case, why haven't we seen, other than Tom Strong, why haven't we seen any other characters, really?
So,
like, top 10 has so many different characters in it that, holy Christ, even if you wanted to turn all those character designs villains,
mm-hmm.
at least then you have all these new villains that you can go after, that people can draw and write for.
So, I'm glad you asked this question.
Thank you.
Because, as you know, America's Best Comics were being put out by who, Nick?
Wildstorm.
By Wildstorm! And who owns Wildstorm?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm asking.
So,
but no one's touched it. That's why I don't know if the stink of Alan Moore has made everyone like, no, what if we can get more? What if we can get Alan Moore back?
No, well, number one, they're never going to get Alan Moore back.
They're not at all.
Not at all. For the simple reason that I think I vaguely remember this being like somewhat of a controversy because I'm almost 100% sure that America's Best Comics, were owned by Wildstorm. Like those characters were.
Mm.
And when Jim Lee sold to DC, that made America's Best Comics property of DC Comics.
Mm.
And now I know you don't read a lot of current stuff, but Tom Strong was in, oh man, The Terrifics.
The Terrifics.
Yes. And so my assumption would be the only way that would happen is that DC owns America's Best Comics. So Tom Strong was in The Terrifics, and then, oh God, what was Promethea? Promethea was in... Let me think real quick. Was it Wonder Woman? Nope, not Wonder Woman. Justice League Dark, maybe? Anyway, she was in some other DC comic. So
she would be a perfect fit for Wonder Woman.
Yes. So my assumption is that just DC owns these, and Alan Moore is just pissed up the ass.
Sure.
Because DC just keeps shitting in his cereal bowl.
But I want them to use more of that stuff. More! Give me more!
Well, I say this all the time about all kinds of things. Like, I want fucking Marvel to do a Prime book. Is that going to happen? No.
Damn it.
All those books are just fucking out in the trash. Same with the CrossGen, right? Didn't Disney buy CrossGen? You're never going to see those books again.
I know.
That's why I saw the news today that Lionforge and Oni Press were merging.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. I mean, it kind of sucks because they're firing a ton of people, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm familiar with layoffs, so yep. Yeah, it does suck.
Yep. I think doesn't Oni own some other. What does Oni own?
Don't they own a children's line as well?
Yeah, they've got a children's line. I thought they owned, god damn it, Fantagraphics? Don't they own Fantagraphics? Or is that somebody else?
No, don't they own, oh, shiest. I can pick Kitchen Shelf? Top Shelf?
Top no. Shelf, yeah, that's it.
Is it Top Shelf? Okay.
I think, isn't it? Or is Top Shelf Boom? No, yeah, it's Top Shelf. Yeah. Oni Press owns Top Shelf. That's it. That's why I'm confused with Fantagraphics, because they're kind of similar.
Well, I just want... I want more.
Look, here's all...
And now, wait, didn't Astro City... Isn't Astro City Image now?
Astro City is Image, yes.
That's so weird that it used to be Wildstorm and now it's Image.
Well, it was Wildstorm, then it went to Vertigo, and now it's Image.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, see, Busiek was smart. He owns that shit.
He's very smart. That's why I asked if Moore owned his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? Astro City, oh my gosh, imagine the new blood that DC would have if they brought all those characters in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Moore was doing stuff at Avatar, and I think Avatar's just gone to shit. I don't think they're putting books out anymore.
Are they still pushing out all of their trades on sale?
I haven't seen anything in a while.
That's usually a bad sign.
Yeah,
when all you see is like on sale, all our trades.
Yeah. I think they put out like the last issue of Cinema Purgatorio a few months ago, and that's probably the last thing that they've done. I don't think they've done anything else. And I'm trying to think like who the parent company is, because whoever owns Avatar also owns Bleeding Cool.
Oh,
and like some. Comic shop? I think it's like a chain of comic shops.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Well, I'm just bummed out, especially looking at that 25-year celebration, to see all of those Wildstorm titles that I sort of forgot was Wildstorm.
Mm.
And it's like, where's that? Where's like Deus Machina? Where's, you know, all the Alan Moore stuff? Why? What happened? Where is it? I want these characters.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
Yeah.
Hey, at least it got me a little passionate for stuff that I forgot or never read before. Think of that way.
Sure. I don't know, man. Comics. Gotta love them. Sometimes you gotta hate them.
No. Just love. Just love.
Just love.
Yes.
You hear that?
So what are you reading?
I'm reading Twitter.
Oh God! Get off Twitter! Stop with the Discord and Twitter. Record.
I'm not on Discord.
Well, get off Twitter.
Whenever we record, I close Discord out so I don't get notifications.
Good. Now close Twitter.
And I mute my phone.
Good.
Twitter's always open.
Oh, you're so connected.
No, it's just always open. Because, you know, I got to sign in, I got to put my password and find my six-digit code that changes every 30 seconds. That's just too much work to sign in, so I just leave it open.
I get it.
Yeah, what am I reading? I'm not reading a whole bunch of anything, man. I haven't even, like, watched any. Actually, I watched one movie since last week.
How was War Games?
I haven't even watched that yet.
You said you were going to get off our podcast last time.
I know, but I got off the podcast and I recorded another podcast. And then I got tied up with something else that I can't talk about.
And tell me, is Solomon Grundy still breaking windows? Or did you tie,
yes, let's do an update.
Tie tons of water bottles to the dog?
Oh, I wonder if that would work. So I came home the other day, and the dog's wearing a fucking shirt. And I'm like, what is happening right now? So I text my wife. Well, and the dog's wearing my wife's best husband ever shirt. Which, by the way, I did not buy her. Okay? She bought it for herself.
Sounds like the dog realizes that you weren't looking at it, and she was very sad. Mm-hmm. So you weren't communicating with her, and she felt bad. So she wanted to say it loud, say it proud.
Sure. I made fun of her the other day because we were walking the dogs. Oh, I got to talk about that too. We're walking the dogs, and she's wearing her Batgirl pajama pants and a Bloodshot t-shirt. And I'm like, sure as shit, for somebody that hates comic books, all you wear is fucking comic book clothes.
Yeah.
To which she had no reply because it's true.
There you go.
But anyways, so I woke, I get home, and the damn dog's wearing a red t-shirt. And so I text my wife, and I was like, why the fuck is the dog wearing a t-shirt? Because, Nick, I have very few pet peeves in this world. But one of my top five pet peeves is dogs wearing clothing.
Animals or dogs?
Just any animal.
Okay, good.
Any animal wearing clothing. Yes. Aside from, like, rain boots. Like, I will kind of accept that. Because my dogs...
Unless it's a tiny little dog in a very dapper sweater.
Well, like, if it's wintertime and it's a tiny dog and you want to put on a sweater, I'll accept that.
Yes.
If it's raining and you have giant dogs, they need rain boots. Because let me tell you, my dog's paws are bigger than my hand, and that's a lot of mud coming in the house.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the rain boots. But anything outside of that, no thank you.
So did your wife laugh and laugh and laugh when you asked that question?
She did, and then, of course, she told me why, which I already assumed why. because of his anxiety, she wanted to have a shirt on him, so he felt like he was being hugged all the time.
Oh, brother.
And I'm like, God damn it. I watched this skit from some comedian, I can't remember who it was, but he was talking about the difference between being a pet owner and a pet parent, and how basically there's no such thing as a pet parent because you're basically just a kidnapper. It was a really funny skit. I got to find out who did it, and I'll send it to you.
Sure.
But my wife reminds me of this. Like, she and I were watching this video, and she's laughing, and I'm also laughing, but I'm laughing because I'm like, God damn it, woman, this is you. So that's why, because she wanted him to feel, you know, whatever that. You know how people buy those what are those things called? The weighted blankets.
Weighted blankets, yes.
Okay, that's what they're called. Great. I thought they had some kind of hipster name.
No.
But my wife wants one of those.
Yeah, so does my wife. I've been telling her for a year to get one.
Yeah, I've been telling my wife to get one, and she doesn't want to get it because they're not cheap.
No, that's why my wife doesn't want to get one. I don't have a job to afford that blanket.
Sure, sure.
But is it in our wish list? Not wish list, our save for later list on Amazon? Sure.
There
is.
You go. Yeah, they're like $200 soon.
Mm-hmm. But she's like, she finally comes around. She's like, I just haven't been sleeping good. And I think the blanket's supposed to, like, make it feel like you're being hugged, like you're being spooned. And I'm like, no shit. I've told you that for the last year. You should already have one. I was going to get it for Christmas. And she goes, yeah, I should have listened.
So how do these things, are they just like, is the weight evenly distributed?
Yeah, they're like little beads.
Okay.
So they're either plastic or, I don't know, some... My wife's looking like at a hippy-dippy one, not just the plastic beads.
So,
but yeah, it's supposed to be all-encompassing, and since they're all like rows of beads, they don't like bunch up and gather.
Yeah,
they all
like
flat. So.
So, I mean, that'd probably be a lot of work, but couldn't you just like theoretically... like rob a XXX store and just make one out of like anal beads, or like go to your local craft shop and just buy like little beads for like a dollar for like a thousand and make one.
Listen, Martin, the tool man Taylor, you know, one of those blankets, but you know, when you're not up there sleeping next to her, you know, it'll feel like she's being hugged.
I hear you. Okay. Fine. Fair enough. Well, fair enough.
When you fall asleep in your man cave.
Fair enough. So the dog was wearing a t-shirt and whatever, that's fine.
Did it help with the anxiety at least?
I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. He wore it one day, so probably not. but of course now, like, I don't have any curtains up in the house because he'll just like tear them down. So matter of fact, we got – so as you remember, my wife's grandma died recently, and she was so sad last night. we were watching YouTube videos in bed, and like she started crying because she got her grandma's chest of drawers, and like this armoire that was in her bedroom, and she got the love seat that her grandma used to sit in all the time, so we put that in the living room, and I was like, where are we gonna put all this shit? And like the armoire and the chest of drawers, I was like, it's fine. Because, like, ours were kind of old anyway, so we need to replace them. But the love seat in the living room, I was like, where are you going to put it? She's like, well, put it in front of the window. I was like, that's a terrible fucking idea. Because when we used to have, when she and I moved in together, she had a living room set. And then we got Solomon Grundy. And one day when he got his first anxiety attack, separation anxiety thing, he got up on the couch and was, I guess, barking out the window or whatever, and literally, like, tore the back cushions off the couch. So we had to buy a new couch set.
Good God. Sounds like somebody needs a Solomon Grundy fur floor blanket.
Yeah. So so I put it in front of the window, but I was like, he's going to just tear it up. And sure as shit, when I came home for lunch yesterday, like, the couch is like halfway across the room, not in front of the window.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, fortunately he's not getting out of that shed. So I've told you about the shed in the backyard. He basically knocked part of the back wall off where he can like shimmy his way out.
Oh.
But I built a door on the shed, in my lack of free time, so he could not get out. Wow. But I was measuring there today, so I'm gonna start building and shit on that thing starting tomorrow.
Ooh.
So hopefully that won't be an issue anymore. I'm a little concerned though, because you know I'm building this greenhouse and it's gonna be like heavy duty plastic most of it. But I'm concerned that like he'll just claw the fucking plastic out and then tear my plants up. And well, I mean he won't be able to escape because I'm gonna put sheet metal in the back, but still. Anyway, so
is it going to be the hydroponic or are you going to go hot house?
I think hot house.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think hot house.
Nice.
Just because of the fact that the there's electricity in that shed, but I don't trust it.
Mm.
Because the guy that built it, the old man that lived here before we did, he like ghetto rigged the shit out of that thing.
Sure.
Like there's two sheds in the backyard and they're like 6 feet apart. And neither of them are finished on the inside. And the one's got the electrical box in it, and it's just like put up with like bubble gum, you know what I mean? Mm. And there's a wire going down into the other shed for lighting. So I don't trust it. So I think I'm just gonna do a hot house and not worry about electricity or anything like that.
Gotcha.
But we'll see. Depends when I get in there tomorrow and start tearing shit up, what I think.
Nice. Are you off tomorrow?
I'm taking a half day tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a ridiculous couple of weeks. I had a meeting with my boss today, this morning, and I was like, bro, we got to do something because I already told you I'm not doing this shit and I'm doing it again. He's like, well, take a half day tomorrow and then come back on Friday and we'll see. I was like, all right.
But in your head, were you like, dude, give me off the rest of the week. What the hell? Why come back Friday? Mother effort.
In my head, I'm like, I need like at least 2 weeks off.
Sure.
Anyway, so as I told you also last time, my wife wanted to start walking the dogs.
Yeah, in the morning and night.
In the morning and night. Let me tell you, we started that this morning.
Oof.
And it did not go very well.
No?
No. She woke me up at 6 in the morning, and I was so beat.
Yeah, I bet.
So beat. I mean, I've been getting home at like 8, 9 o'clock.
Oof.
And I can't just, like, if I work all day, I can't come home and go to sleep.
Right.
Like, my body is exhausted, and my mind is exhausted, but I feel like I'm not getting anything done, right? Because I feel like I wake up, I go to work, come home, go to sleep, wake up, go to work, come home, go to sleep. So, in particular, when I work long days, I have to have some, like, just chill time.
Yeah, rewind, or...
Unwind.
Unwind, yeah. Yes.
I've got to have some chill time. So I ended up going to bed, I don't know, like 12:30 last night. And 6 o'clock in the morning, hey, babe, wake up. We got to walk the dogs. And I was like, meh. Come on, wake up. We got to walk the dogs. Meh. And finally, I woke up. I'm pretty sure I walked the dog, like, totally asleep.
Wow.
Because I vaguely remember anything until like we were almost walking back into the house. But it was kind of nice though, because like the sun was still coming up, so like I felt myself waking up as the sun was coming up. So that was nice.
Are the dogs just too much for one person to walk?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I gotta walk Solomon by myself, and then my wife takes Ginger and Betty White.
Yeah, I was gonna say if she did it in the morning and you did it at night, that would work out for your schedule as well as hers.
No, I mean he's like 130 pounds.
Yeah, they're too much.
Yeah, and like she just can't handle him. Sure, she can barely handle Ginger. She's like 110 pounds. I got mad the other day because we were walking the dogs at night, and there was a lady walking her dog, and you know the dogs got excited. They wanted to go say hey.
Yeah.
And like it's fine when like it's just a normal sized dog, but when you have a human sized dog, it's very hard to hold the dog back. You know what I mean?
Heck yeah.
And I'm trying to hold Solomon back, and then she gives me the leash for Ginger, and I'm like, are you fucking serious right now?
You're trying to keep back 300 pounds of dog.
Yeah, I almost face planted at one point, man. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that's a little, I mean, granted, even if your dogs are like perfectly trained and obedient, that's a lot of enthusiastic dog to try to keep separated from other animals.
Yeah. Well, and you got to remember, these dogs are bred to fight bear attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're sheep herding dogs, kind of. A goat, I think, actually, not sheep. They're bred to herd goats in the mountains of the Pyrenees Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And there's wild bear there, and they're bred to fight off bears trying to attack the goats. That's why they have like a ton of skin around their necks, so that if bears try to bite them down on the neck, they don't really get hurt. So they're very big and they're very powerful.
But if your dog wanted to go to a bail box, it's very hard for you not to let that dog go to the mailbox.
Yes, but the thing is, I treat my dogs like dogs, and my wife treats my dogs like children. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with treating your dogs like children. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I think when you have a large, powerful dog like that, if you want to treat him like a kid in the house, that's fine. But in public, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like if – I know you don't have kids, but if you – like you've got nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if you take them to like Toys R Us, rest in peace, like they can't act like fucking idiots. You know what I mean? Like,
plenty of kids do.
Yeah. They got to be well-behaved. Like around the house, they can act like idiots. But in public, like, they kind of got to behave. And it's the same with animals. And so the reason that I – part of the reason I walk Solomon is, yeah, number one, my wife couldn't handle it because he would just fucking run down the street with her. But, like, when I walk him, I don't even have to pull the leash. Like, I just put the leash around my wrist and I just walk. And, like, he never pulls. But if my wife walks
him – Yeah, because you're the alpha.
Yeah, if my wife walks him, he's fucking pulling everywhere.
Sure.
And same
thing. She's not the alpha.
She does all the, like, we've had these dogs for years and she always does it. She puts the extendable leash on Ginger. I'm like, you can't put that leash on him. Just put the regular leash on him.
Mm-hmm.
But she still uses it. And so she gives them leeway. And when you give them leeway, it makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So anyways,
the dog just wants to go.
Yeah. The dog just wants to go. And again, they're bred to herd goats. You know what I mean? So they have like large roaming environments that they want to roam in. So like when my dog breaks out, I don't blame the dog. Like that's what he's bred to do. He's made to wander around for like miles and miles on end and then eventually come home at some point. And he always does. It's just annoying sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just one of those, like my mom will allow. And growing up, I've realized in my adulthood, it was my dad that brought obedience to any of our pets.
Mm-hmm.
And now that my mom isn't with my dad and she has her own pets, now I see her training style. And it's just one of those, like the dogs are up on every bit of furniture. It is just a wild havoc.
Mm-hmm.
Where my dad would be like, letting that dog know, like, you aren't even allowed in this room. And if I see you in this room, they'll be disappointed. And now my mom, like, oh my God, the dogs are up all over the place. And it'll be like, she'll be telling me a story that the dog jumped up on the kitchen chair and I looked over and all of a sudden that dog's eating out of one of the bowls for dinner. Mm. And can you believe that? Oh my gosh. And in my head, I'm just like, yeah, because the dog isn't trained at all. The dog thinks wherever it jumps up is fine. So why wouldn't a dog be like, ooh, there's a steak right there on that plate. Let me grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no discipline.
Well, I think part of the thing too is like my wife and I were raised very differently around animals. Right. So like my family had farm animals, for example. And mm-hmm. so animals are treated like animals. And her family didn't have that, right? They all had like small house dogs.
Sure.
So like I, for example, never bought dog food in my life until I married my wife and we had a dog. Because when we had dogs, the dogs would sit next to you at the dinner table, and then when you were done, like, they got the scraps. Like, that was the dog food.
Sure.
You know? But my wife's, like, the total opposite. You know, we get, like, fucking bougie, grain-free, organic, whatever the fuck, dog food for the uh-huh. dog. And I understand, like, if we have to eat well to be healthy, then surely the dogs too. So I don't yeah. mind spending money to get the dogs, like, good food. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like they wouldn't give two shits. They actually prefer when we give them scraps as opposed to the dog food.
Of course. Just like a 4-year-old kid would eat a plate of candy if given their own.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so and it's such a hassle too. Like we got to put the gate up on the stairs so the dogs don't go upstairs because Reagan keeps like candy and cookies in her room. And Solomon always busts through the fucking gate to go up there and eat her shit. And then she gets mad. And I'm like, why don't you just not keep it there anymore? You know what I mean? Like, then the
or
dog
close your
there.
Bedroom door.
Well, and that's the other thing. So my wife and I had the discussion. Because I'm like, why don't you just close her room? Keep the door closed. Well, but then the cat can't get to her food. I said, put the cat food somewhere else. And actually, it doesn't matter because the litter box is in the bathroom upstairs, which is in the hallway set outside of the bedrooms. And sometimes when Solomon goes up there, if he can't find any candy, he'll just like dig through the litter box in the bathroom.
Yeah, right there's some candy.
So I'm like, well, just put the litter box in the bedroom. Well, then it'll smell the bedroom. All right. Well, that's why I said not to get a fucking cat. You see what I mean? Like, hello.
Oh, man.
So anyway, so 2 days ago, my wife had a conference call with a dog trainer on how to try to resolve this problem that we have with Solomon Grundy. And I thought it was just a bunch of crap.
Was it like a dog whisperer?
No, it was like an actual trainer.
Oh, okay.
But he's like asking all these questions, like, how does the dog feel? I'm like, what do you mean, how does the dog feel? The dog feels fine! He's a fucking dog!
Maybe if you gave the dog a back massage for 20 minutes a night. It's like, what? That's mm-hmm. what I want. I'll take a back massage every night.
Well, and that was the day after is when she put the fucking shirt on him, so I'm like, god damn it. So he's like, yeah, how does
the dog
feel?
This is a dog whisper. This is a dog whisper.
Have there been any changes in the dog's routine? Like, do you have a new dog? How are the other dogs treating him? Like, this, that, and the other. I'm like, are you serious? Like, we've had this dog for, like, 6 years, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he would be, of all the dogs, he's the biggest and the one we had the longest. So surely he would be, like, the alpha, right? And if he's not the alpha, he wouldn't act up because whoever the alpha would end up being would beat the shit out of him. So, like, either way, that's not the reason he's acting up. So he's like, well, you know, maybe Ginger is provoking him when you're not at the house or whatever. And I was like, the fuck's Ginger got to do with it? Like, we've had Ginger for, like, 4 years. Why would you all of a sudden whatever she does affect them? You know what I mean?
Sounds like you need a motion camera.
So I put my tablet in the living room recording, so I can watch what he does. And of course, the fucking day here I recorded, he doesn't do anything. So I was like, well, I don't think Ginger's the problem. I think the fucking cat's the problem.
Uh-oh.
Because he wasn't acting up before, and all of a sudden we get the cat, and he's acting up. And Mo was like, well, we had the cat since Christmas. And I'm like, yeah, that's only like three or four months.
3 months, yeah.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Like, there would be an adjustment period, and then he would fucking act up.
You have an alpha cat in the house.
And so I'm like, she's like, well, when we leave, we should put Ginger in the bedroom to see. And I'm like, look, I'm not a dog whisperer, but I don't think Ginger's the problem. I think the fucking cat's the problem. Maybe we should lock the cat up in the room. Well, we can't do that, because how's she going to get to the litter box? Well, just fucking put the litter box. Well, we can't do that. It'll smell. Uh-huh. All right, well, fuck it. Like, I don't know. You know? I'll just come home and clean up a destroyed house every day. What do you want me to tell you? But today, she took the dog to the psychologist.
Oh, my God.
So now Solomon has an emergency prescription for, you know, when it's like thunderstorms or fireworks or whatever.
Doggy Xanax?
Yeah, basically. It's not even doggy Xanax. It's like 100 milligrams of some shit. And then tomorrow she's going to fill up the prescription for whatever this other thing was. Like Tramadol, I think it is. What is that? 3 pills, 20 minutes, so 60 milligram Tramadol for every day. I looked it up, by the way. That's like an adult human-sized dose. Just for the record, for anyone listening, so you understand the size of my dog.
Yeah, I was going to say, your dog's very large.
He's very large.
Sounds like you should be an animal therapist, because you have already figured out the issue, whether anyone else in that house wants to realize it.
Yeah, exactly. I already know the problem. It's a fucking cat.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's the only change in its life.
Yeah.
In the last 6 months.
Yep. Ugh. So now my dog is on medication for anxiety.
Like that indoor cat should become an outdoor cat just for a couple days.
It's funny that you say that. So my wife works for a moving company. She's an accountant. And one of the perks that she has working there is it's not as good a perk as before. So before she was an accountant for a heating and air conditioning company. So that was nice, because then we got like free checkups on her heating and AC system. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now we get like free moving. But one of the perks is the free moving. So she scheduled for them to go to her grandma's house to pick up this couch and this armoire and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the plus side is we still had these couches that Solomon ripped up years ago in the garage, because I don't know where the fuck – where do you take a couch? You know what I mean?
You bring it out to your fire pit in the backyard and build a bonfire.
So some places will let you set them out on the sidewalk, and they have a truck that picks up that kind of stuff. We don't have that. I suggested burning it, and my wife said that was a bad idea because of the smoke.
Well, yeah.
So they've just been sitting in the garage for years.
So do you have to drop them off at the dump?
Well, so when they came and dropped her grandma's stuff off here, they picked up this old furniture and took it to the dump.
Along with the cat.
Well, so they showed up. And it was a whole debacle, because they did not plan this very well. So they show up to my front door, which we never use. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll open the garage so you guys can get in easier. So I go in, I open the garage, and they bring the couch in. And I was like, just leave it right there in the garage, because I've got the dogs inside. I don't want them to jump all over you. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, fuck that. I'll just let the dogs out. So I let the dogs out, and they brought in the armor and whatever, and there was like a giant TV that came in that's going to go to my wife's brother. And so I left the door open, and I was like, yeah, not that big a deal. The dogs were outside. Forgot completely about the cat. Completely about the cat. So I just leave the door open. So I told them where to bring the furniture, the dogs, the door's open, the garage is open. And then after they were done, I was like, oh, yeah, we have a cat. And the door's been open for like an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around and I don't see the cat. I was like, oh, I guess the cat ran away.
Perfect.
And I just went back to work.
Yeah.
But apparently the cat was still here, because The whole time I'm thinking to myself, is my wife home yet? Probably not, because I haven't gotten a text about where the cat is. And then like 5 o'clock, my wife texts me and she asked about how the move went, like bringing the furniture in and how the dogs were in, blah, blah, blah. And, so I told her and she didn't mention the cat. And I was like, well, shit, I guess the cat didn't run away. When I got home later on that night, sure as shit, the cat was in the house. So I guess he just went upstairs. I don't know.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised we even got the cat because Reagan, the reason we got rid of our last cat is Reagan was allergic.
Oh, so why did you get another cat?
Because, look, my wife loves animals. So
Your wife loves this cat.
My wife loves animals, so I cannot blame her one bit. Reagan also loves animals. Zoe loves animals. They love going to the Humane Society and just, like, pet random animals.
Yeah.
Okay? That's, like, a fun time for them.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they went to the Humane Society and they were petting dogs and they're like, let's go in the cat room. And Reagan went in there and she didn't get all sniffly. And she's like, I think I'm not allergic to cats anymore. So they got a fucking cat.
Oh, god damn.
And so that's the story of the cat.
Dang it.
I don't even know the cat's name. I call it Satan. Because I think that's a cool name for a cat. Oh, it's Zelda. That's what it is.
Mm.
Zelda from Pet Sematary.
Mm. Gotcha.
Yeah. Which is funny because that is the one character my wife is most scared of any book, TV show, or film of all time, is Zelda from Pet Sematary. And as a result, Reagan thought it would be hilarious to name the cat Zelda.
Does Zelda breathe in your wife's soul when she's sleeping as well?
No, she actually sleeps upstairs in Reagan's room.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
God dang.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can you do? The cat's too ingrained now. You're not getting rid of it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yep.
I guess. So we'll see how that goes. So now my dog's on anxiety medication. My wife's on anxiety medication. Reagan's not on it yet. But I'll just give it some time.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just going to move to Denver and get everyone magic mushrooms.
There you go.
It's funny. So I already mentioned that Reagan's on medication. She's got mild Tourette's. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working, so they changed her medication. And to like give it a couple weeks for it to work. Well, it's been like 2 months now. She develops like new tics all the time. Like it's just making it worse. So I told my wife, I was like, we'll just fucking give her like 50 grams of mushrooms. And I bet you it'll go away. And she's like, we can't give her mushrooms. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I guess we won't do that.
What are you going to be growing in that hothouse?
I'm doing spinach, lettuce, green peppers, leeks.
Ooh.
Beets. What else did I get?
Icicle radishes?
No.
Oh.
I would, but nobody else would eat them but me. What else did I get? Oh, I got habaneros.
Mushrooms?
No mushrooms.
Mm.
Whenever I get that one done, I'm going to use the other shed for mushrooms.
Cannabis?
No cannabis. That's illegal.
Right.
Damn, what else did I get? I got something else. Oh, green beans and okra.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You're going to have a good little stew going on there.
Yeah, I got a good selection of stuff and stuff that I could like either can or ferment.
Mm, good.
Yeah.
Did you say cabbage too?
No cabbage. I thought about it.
No kimchi?
Well, so this is funny. So Zoe had some like cabbage competition at school.
Mm.
I think it ends next month when they go to summer break or whatever. Like every kid got a fucking cup with dirt and a cabbage seed in it.
Sure.
And they have to grow it, and whoever has the biggest cabbage at the end of the year gets some kind of prize.
Mm.
So it's been here at my house. It doesn't look like a cabbage. It looks like a fucking plant. I don't know. I think it's like faulty cabbage. I've never seen like cabbage. I've never grown cabbage. I've never seen wild cabbage.
Mm.
But I don't know, man. Does cabbage grows underground, right?
I always thought it grew like lettuce, but I don't know, to be honest with
you. Yeah, I have no idea. I've never seen a wild cabbage, so I couldn't tell you. But I will tell you, this thing does not look like a cabbage. It's like a stalk with like five or six leaves coming out of it. I don't know.
When you were in high school, did you, like, for health, for like a health equivalent class, did you have to walk around for months with holding and caring for a soft egg?
Not for months. I think it was like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. We did it for months.
Really?
Yeah. You're supposed to have a bond with it. It's your baby.
Mm.
And I just remember once it was done, like all the boys either threw their eggs at each other or went around trying to hit all of the girls' eggs out of their hands.
Nice. Nice.
Yes.
No, we did not do that. Not for that long, at least. Which I'm glad.
Yeah, it was a pain in the butt.
Because I would have just eaten the egg.
Or we had those, what were the like sensory dolls?
Yeah, we didn't have those either.
Yeah, that as soon as you like, if you turned it over too long, it would start like vibrating or crying. And
that's my favorite episode of Saved by the Bell.
Never seen it.
What?
Well, never seen an episode of Saved by the Bell.
Shut up.
I was a little older than
Oh
you,
my so. God. Yeah, they had an episode about that. That was my favorite episode. My second favorite episode is when Jesse gets addicted to, I don't even know what it was.
Caffeine?
Adderall, maybe? Oh, yeah, it was caffeine pills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember hearing about that. Ridiculous.
Because they got so, it was like the only serious episode.
Like the Different Strokes episode when they taught him, like, older men will do some inappropriate touching.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh at that.
Oh, gosh.
But
it was always a very special episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was the 80s, man. You had to have all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you had to have messages.
What was that guy that lives in Chicago? What's his name? The detective. You know who I'm talking about.
Absolutely. That he came to our high school.
Yeah.
Bittenbinder.
Bittenbinder, yep.
Yes, yes, with that sweet-ass mustache.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I told you about that visit.
You sure did.
Yeah, I mean, John Mulaney is not too far off from the truth. Just that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's good times.
Hilarious.
Those things don't work, so, yeah. There's
hey, it steered me clear of drugs.
Hey, that's cool. I've never done drugs in my life, so I get you.
Right. See, you're still scared.
Scared straight.
Right.
I love that show. Have you ever seen that show, Scared Straight?
Yeah, of course.
Fucking hilarious. It's so fake, but it's so funny.
Oh, it was one of the first like staged reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make it look real, but you just knew it wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people still think a lot of that shit's real. Like, let me tell you, Nick, I don't know how it is up in Chicago, but there's some really dumb people down south. No offense. But, like, I hear people talking sometimes, like, just conversations about, like, politics or TV shows. And I'm like, you know that's not real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, yeah, because blah, blah, blah. They said this, that. Yeah.
Like all those Bravo shows?
Yeah. I'm like
really? How many times do they have to be in a restaurant with eight people around a circular table? Who does that?
Oh, man.
And you sure as hell don't do it every week, for God's sake.
See, that's why Aaron Bell needs a TV show, because, like, his shit is real. You know what I mean? Like, he's got some shit stories.
Oh, really?
That would make... Oh, yeah. He's got some stories. Like, if a camera followed him around, that would be a popular TV show. And it would not have to be staged. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. You gotta hear his stories about, like, his mob... connected sister-in-laws and shit.
No, never have.
It's fucking hilarious.
Sheesh.
Mm-hmm. Go listen to Absolute DC Podcast. It's great.
Mm-mm-mm.
Especially now that they're back. Ronnie's been too busy to record that mother effer.
Yeah, I know. He's a very popular boy.
He is.
Yeah.
He's been too busy going to the Cardinals games or something. I don't know.
And the St. Louis Blues.
Mm, yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get some tickets for the damn hockey games.
Yeah, you should. Mm. Take your daughter.
Oh, yeah. Zoe loves it.
I know.
Zoe loves it. I gotta do that. This weekend's Mother's Day. Oh, wait. This comes out, like, next week. Last weekend was Mother's Day. I hope your mother had a great Mother's Day. If not, tell her Nick and Martin say hello.
Yeah, we had a great Mother's Day. And this is where you're supposed to fill in a lot of, like, bad audio so people think that we're sharing a great story.
Shit. Dude, I watched, what did I watch? I watched a couple episodes of The Outer Limits. Man, that's just
the original?
Great. Yeah, the original scene. Oh, nice. Yeah, it's good.
Did you watch any of the new Twilight Zone?
No, I have not yet.
I thought you were getting CBS All Access.
Nick, you know I'm not getting CBS All Access. I am boycotting.
You said you were going to, and I said even though it's so hard to unsubscribe, and you were like, yeah, I need to. I have to see.
Well, that's because, you know, Twilight Zone was fresh in my mind, and I felt like I had to. But here's the thing. If you really want something, just wait like a couple days or a couple weeks. And if you still really want it, then get it.
So you missed the window of opportunity.
Well, I waited a couple weeks, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I can wait till the season's over.
Yeah, I'm that way. I'm that way for sure.
Yeah. So that. And then I ended up watching a movie. Well, I didn't finish it because I fell asleep. Because I worked too much. But I watched most of it, and mm-hmm. It was pretty good. It's a Netflix original. Well, it's not a Netflix original. But Netflix has the rights to distribute it.
Okay.
It is a Chinese film called The Wandering Earth. Just came out in theaters like a few months ago in China. Highest grossing film of all time in China, The Wandering Earth. It is based on a short story by Shixing Liu, who is one of my favorite authors at the time, or at the current time. He did the Three Body Problem trilogy, one of the craziest fucking books I've ever read. It's fucking awesome. I recommend everyone read it. So they made this movie based on a short story that he did. And it's kind of like one of these sort of post-apocalyptic, like, disaster movies.
Okay.
Like, the sun's dying. And so, like, the whole world unites to move Earth from our solar system to a different solar system, and shenanigans ensue.
Sheesh.
It's really good.
It sounds good.
The story is better, because the one thing about Chinese flicks is they're always, like, high budget and, like, really well produced. But a lot of the, like, humor doesn't translate very well.
Hmm.
So it just, like, the humor stuff comes off really cheesy.
Is that a translation thing?
I think it's more a cultural thing.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah. But, like, if you're familiar with, like, Chinese culture, like, even if you watch, like, anime, like, familiar with Japanese culture, then you might get some of the jokes and stuff. It was really good. I very much enjoyed it.
Good deal.
The Wandering Earth. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Very good. Oh, I'm jumping back into the darkness, but it's going to be a slow road uphill. So you have plenty of time. Everything that you haven't been reading, so no rush.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Friend of the show, Travis Williams.
Oh.
He wants to get in on that.
Well, you should.
Because he's been reading the Top Cow stuff.
Nice.
So if we decide to record an episode, he will probably be joining.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. I like it. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
You've been listening to the Dog Psychology Central Podcast with Nick Wetmore. Thanks for listening. The number one dog psychology podcast in the world.
Thank you.
Yes, that's true. Look it up. Go on iTunes and search for the dog psychology category. You'll see it on there. The first entry. If you want to get in touch with us, Twitter, always the best place. I don't believe in email. You can text me, but if I'm not giving you my number, because that'd be kind of weird. But Nick is at Nick Wetmore. I am at GeekVine, and the show is at Nerdy Legion. Thanks for listening. In the arms of an angel.